Joining us on KMBR, it's always nice to have the manager of the world champion Giants, and that is Bruce Bochy. I never got the story of how you wanted to become a manager. How did you get the bug? I mean, you're a major league player, and all of a sudden, next thing you know in your career, you're a manager.
Well, Marty, I guess it started somewhat early in my career. Being a role player, you know, backup catcher, you know, you spend a lot of time in the bullpen, and that gives you more time to reflect on the game or what you want to do. And I knew I felt at that time I wanted to manage. And then in 1987, my last year playing, I broke my hand on opening day catching in the bullpen at Candlestick. We had a pitcher named Ed Wojna who wanted to get a little work in, and he threw a ball in the dirt and it hit the wall next to the bullpen, and on the ricochet caught my hand and broke it. So now I'm out for 6 weeks, and I'm getting older, and so that's really when it hit me that, you know, it's probably time to make a career move, and so I started thinking about managing. Now, when the year was over, Jack McKeon, who was our general manager, I knew him fairly well, and he's the guy that really got me back in the major leagues, going to San Diego to back up Terry Kennedy. And he mentioned being a player coach in Las Vegas, our AAA affiliate at the time. And that's what I did, and that's when I really realized this is what I want to do. So in 1989, I began my managing career in Spokane, Washington. Rookie ball, loved it. Short season, 2.5 months, but you get all those young kids from high school and college, and I just had a great time doing it, fell in love with it, and that's really where it all began for me.
Yeah, I never knew the story. Well, what is it that attracted you to managing? I know a lot of catchers become managing. You know, you have the game in front of you, you become a student of the game. But what was it? Was it the teaching? Was it running the game? Well, what did you like about it?
Well, I think any, and not just catchers, but managers, they just like being involved in the game in different aspects of the game. For example, I couldn't run, but now I can steal a base. You know, you're making all the calls. And being a catcher, it does make your transition from player to managing a lot easier, because that's really what you're doing as a catcher. You got to handle 11 or 12 different pitchers, different personalities. You realize one size doesn't fit all, and you have to have hopefully some understanding of pitching, which is a big part of managing. But also, as you mentioned, you're looking at the whole field. You have to know all the fundamentals, the plays that you're putting on there. They're usually coming from the catcher, the bump plays, a lot of pickoffs and things like that. So I think a catcher being so involved in the game, he gets used to that, and so managing's the same thing. You're involved, you know, on the offensive part, the defensive part, to making changes. So in essence, it's what you've been doing, and that's why I think so many catchers manage.
You know, it's funny, not many Hall of Fame players become good managers. Some have tried, and obviously you had a major league career. As you say, you're mainly a backup as a catcher. Was it easier just dealing with players, knowing what you went through? Because why is it that Hall of Fame players can't become good managers? I mean, the game comes too easy for them. There must be some real reason.
Well, I think that's part of it. You know, being a great player, you don't quite go through the ups and downs of what the average player goes through. You know, myself, I was 4 or 5 times going into spring training to the 25th or 26th guy trying to make the club. So, you know, you realize what these guys are going through trying to make this team. Being a role player like I was, I really understand how important it is to occasionally get some playing time so you can stay sharp and maybe have a chance to hit major league pitching. You have to look at the average guy or the role player. He has to work a lot harder. The game comes a lot easier to great players. And you look at, you know, whether it's a Barry Bonds or Ken Griffey Jr., these guys, and you can count on both hands, these talented players that are way above the player that the average guy is, you know, what we are, and they just really don't have to go through those tough periods as much. And so that's part of it. But there have been some great players who are, I think, great managers. I know Frank Robinson managed for a long time, and Ted Williams even managed. But it's just probably easier for, you know, the guy who had to really fight for everything and go through the struggles to understand what all these players are going through.
Yeah, so you played for a Bill Verdon, who is an outstanding center fielder for the Cardinals, Rookie of the Year for the Pirates, and he managed a while, Jack McKee, and you mentioned as well. So when you started as a manager, what was the one characteristic that you would take from somebody else? You said, all right, I better be like this.
Well, I think you take something from all your managers or even general managers. And now, for me, I really like Bill Verdon and the way he handled players. And not that he ever said this was his philosophy, but I think he treated players the way he would want to be treated. He was fair but firm. If he had a problem with you, he would bring you in. And it might not be what you want to hear. He was you know, straightforward with you. And I try to you know, do the same things, because I think back when I was a player, if I wasn't doing something right, I would want to know. There were times I didn't know. I didn't know a manager was frustrated with me, what he wanted me to do. So I think it's important that you are honest with the player. That's the best way to be, and it doesn't come back to haunt you. When you say something to a player that's not quite true, and just to give you an example, we had a player, Mark Newfield, a young enough up-and-coming, good-looking young player that was concerned about being traded. Well, at that time, I didn't hear of any talk about him being traded. So, Mark, you're not getting traded. You're going to be here, you know, relax. Well, 2 days later, he was traded. So I learned a lesson, you know, because that's not my call. And I apologized to him. I said, listen, I was being honest at the time, although it may not look it to you. And, you know, we laugh about it now. I haven't seen him in 10 years now, but, you know, after it happened, I think he understood. I didn't lie to him, but, you know, that's just an example that, you know, it can't catch you if you're not careful.
That's a funny story. All right, 17 years managing in the major leagues. I look at that number, I say, my goodness, where did the time go? Do you still call people in? Do you still do it like you did in the beginning?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in fact, I had to call in a player yesterday here, you know, that I just noticed a little different attitude with him. He was getting a little pouty here with his playing time and wasn't quite performing like he should. And I brought him in, and I was honest with him. And, you know, I said, listen, we're making cuts here in a couple of days. If you want to be one of those guys, you let me know. If you're not going to be happy. And, you know, you can speculate who that is, but I won't mention it. But and, you know, again, he needs to know that I can see this, and not just myself, but the staff, and he's only hurting himself. And so, you know, it happens in spring training because we have 60 guys here, over 60. Marty, I can't keep them all happy, and we have a lot of these young kids that are making these trips and not getting any playing time, and we are going to make cuts here Tuesday, and guys will get, you know, go down and start playing. But, you know, it's just so important, I think, for a manager or a coach to kind of keep a pulse on the club, and if you see something going on with a player, let them know.
Well, all right, baseball adages. I always enjoy sitting down talking baseball with you. I really do. And someone called in the other day. I said, oh, this would be a good topic for a show. And I said, all right, I'm going to talk to the man who knows baseball, who wants to speed up the game. We had a lot of fun talking the other night about that. But baseball adages. You never have enough runs. You believe in it?
I do. I do. And, you know, we'll use the term, you know, add on or, you know, keep pushing. You can't ever have enough runs, and you have to also, as a team, and I tell my offenses, you have to understand how important it is to keep adding on. Not so much, you know, you're playing to win the game, but the more runs you get, then easier to handle the pitching. And And if we can get a 4 or 5 run lead, then I don't have to use Wilson. I don't have to use a setup guy. We can save those guys. So, you know, we just try to emphasize, don't stop or don't get content with how many runs you have, because it can dictate how we use the bullpen and rest guys, or maybe even if you get enough runs, take you out and put in a role player to let him get one or two at bat. So you can't ever have enough runs, because anything can happen in this game. There's nothing worse for a manager when you have a big lead and you see the other team coming back, and then, you know, you're trying to stop it. And sometimes that's one of the hardest things to stop.
You can't pitch behind in the count too often, because you're going to get hammered. They're going to catch up to you.
Well, that's true. There's two things there. I mean, eventually you're going to have to come in there, and you're probably going to have to, you know, throw something toward the middle of the plate, because you don't have that good control. Now, yesterday or a couple of days ago, Clayton Tanner, he went with that philosophy. He was getting behind 2-0 and throwing a high fastball. They were popping it up. Now, he got away with it, but it's going to catch up with you. And I believe in this adage that the more pitches a hitter sees, the more comfortable now he gets. He has a reference on what you have. So if you're pitching behind, it definitely is going to catch up with you.
Speed never goes on vacation.
Well, it doesn't. But you can't steal first. So that's, you know, as fast as you may be, you still have to have guys who can get on base, you know, via walk or base hit. But, yeah, speed does make it so much easier to score runs. When you can take that extra base, it can change a game, you know, stretching a long single into a double or, you know, triple, you know, in first to third. And we weren't good last year. We were next to last, I think, in the base running analysis. And which we're fortunate that we had some big home runs, because that usually catches up with you. But to win a World Series and be that poor on the bases, that's what we've talked about here. We got to get better.
You probably agree with this one, because you won a World Series with it, but pitching is 75% of the game.
Well, I'll go higher than that. Yeah. But, and I've said this, Marty, so many times, and the Braves did it in the 90s. When you have good pitching, you're going to stay in more games. The more games you stay in, the better chance you have of winning those games. You're probably going to have a pretty good year. And that's why the Braves did it in the 90s. They had such a great rotation there with Maddox and Glavine and Smoltz and great bullpen. And those guys were relentless with their pitching and played a lot of close games like we did last year. And we found a way to win those games, and that's why we're getting a ring.
I'll give you one more. I appreciate talking some ball with you. Show me a good bullpen, I'll show you a smart manager.
Well, that's everything for a manager. You're right, because when you make a move and you have a good bullpen, it has a better chance of working out, and the fans aren't on you. And the bullpen is used so frequently now in today's game, much more than it used to be. You're playing so many close games, so it usually comes down to bullpen. That's why you don't see starters quite getting the number of decisions that they normally get, because you're protecting them, and it comes down to the bullpen between the two teams. But you're right. Last year, I'll never forget a game against Philly. I'm trying to help Timmy out, and Wilson comes in, and he gives it up, and, you know, I took it pretty hard, you know, from everybody, which you understand, it just goes with the territory. But, you know, we all know what a great bullpen we have, and we don't win this thing without them last year.
All right, nice spending some time with you talking some baseball. That's what the game's all about, Bruce. Thanks for the time.
Oh, Marty's always great talking with you, and this is such a great time of year. And I tell fans, if you ever come to spring training, you'll come every year, because it's a fun time, relaxing time. You can get closer to the game, you can watch the fundamentals, and these guys, they're having a great time down here, and it's getting, you know, we're probably a week away from getting to the dog days of spring training, but right now, guys are doing well.